Welcome back in, guys, to HR After Dark, where this person, tired of this grandpa, that's too damn bad. Today, we're diving into some meaty HR drama. Lori Chavez de Remer is officially the new labor secretary. Is she about to shake things up or just keep the seat warm? We've got political chaos headed straight for HR. Imagine your boss being handpicked by a politician. Yikes. And we've got our listener question. Can your employer legally withhold your paycheck? It's complicated, but we'll get into it. And if you guys are tired of the roller coaster ride from this administration, you're not alone. I can raise my right hand and solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I am tired of it, and I want to play a fun game. So we're going to end this episode on a high note. We're going to play a fun little HR-themed Would You Rather to kind of lighten the mood and distract ourselves from impending doom. Maybe. All right, to kick things off, we have Lori Chavez de Remer confirmed as our labor secretary. She's a Republican from Oregon. She was confirmed as labor secretary with a 62-32 Senate vote. 17 Democrats actually backed her, which is raising eyebrows across the party line. Chavez de Remer's stance on labor issues is a little complicated. So I want to jump kind of back and give you guys a debrief. What does the Department of Labor secretary do? So the Secretary of Labor leads the Department of Labor, the DOL, and serves as the principal advisor to the president on labor policies. They oversee federal laws concerning workplace activities and labor relations, including those affecting unions and employer-employee relationships. So with Lori being confirmed, some of her union-friendly moves, despite being a Republican, she supports the PRO Act, which strengthens collective bargaining rights and could make union membership easier. This is kind of a big deal because Republicans generally oppose it. Some unions are hopeful, but GOP leaders are calling it a betrayal. I will add the link to the act in the show notes so you can read it and kind of decide for yourself on it. I'm not going to do a whole debrief on it, but that is something that I will link in the show notes below if you're interested. Lori wants independent contractor protections. She wants to address the independent contractor classification, likely aiming to undo the Biden administration's stricter rule that narrowed the definition of independent contractors. So is this signaling more freedom for the gig economy, or is this, you know, a bad thing? Well, what is narrowing the definition of independent contractor do? Narrowing it pushes for a reclassification of employees and can lead to greater protections and benefits. That means those who were once an independent contractor would have to be held accountable as an employee and paid minimum wage, overtime, unemployment benefits, basically everything that an employee is provided and what an independent contractor is currently not provided. So employers themselves would have to pay more in taxes. So the expansion is something that we've very much seen with this administration and their views on the employers or CEOs making more of a profit. If employers have to pay more in taxes, that goes against everything that the administration is kind of working towards right now. It's no wonder that she wants to expand that and not narrow it down. So on the flip side, narrowing could mean that employers would downsize their workforce to accommodate for pay, leading to potential job losses. And that would mean that the gig economy, which relies heavily on independent contractors, could shrink. So undo the narrow definition looks better for Uber, DoorDash workers, gig workers, but it allows corporations to make more of a profit by utilizing these workers and not paying out due benefits. She is also opposing the expanded joint employer rule, which would hold companies accountable for labor violations committed by contractors or franchises. Business groups are going to love this, but worker advocates are not so much going to love this. What is a joint employer? A common example would be like a business and a staffing agency working together. So you have a business and, you know, They have a couple of worker spots that they need filled ASAP. They would contact a staffing agency, and that staffing agency would pull from their list of employees that they keep on roster and match them to those positions. The business would then interview the staffing agency employees and say yay or nay on like if they want to employ them. So while the EJER was shot down, this could mean less of a chance for employees to hold their employer liable due to a labor law violation. Originally, under the expanded joint employer rule in 2023, that meant that the employees or the staffing agency employees would have a greater chance to hold the company as well as the staffing agency liable. Now, they've been narrowed down to just holding one liable. So Chavez de Remer is walking a fine line between a pro-business, pro-labor, but is she able to keep both sides happy? Will her union-friendly stance lead to clashes with her own party, or is she positioning herself as a bridge builder? And if she pushes for contractor-friendly policies while supporting unions, could this create conflicts within the labor market itself? Moving on to story number two, a new memo from the Office of Personnel Management, or OPM, has HR pros side-eyeing their future. It allows federal HR roles, which are typically held by career officials, to be filled by political appointees. So HR and federal agencies could be a political free-for-all. Let's get into some of the details with it. The memo allows agencies to reclassify HR roles to make them non-career positions. So this is the equivalent of like a part-time temporary position. Political appointees could gain control over hiring, labor relations, and workplace policies. Now, something to keep in mind here, HR plays a critical role in shaping organizations. If the role was switched to political appointees hiring for the position, we could see less of a skills-based hiring and more of the friends and family discount. It's more of who you know style hiring. That's something to keep in mind. And another thing to keep in mind is that Trump eliminated DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, to move towards the skills-based workforce and undo his hiring quota that he was so heavily marketing out to everybody, that DEI was bad because you had to meet a hiring quota. So this administration is kind of playing a back and forth, and it's kind of hard to keep up on what their actual stance is. And that is why in last week's episode, I said there were major communication errors, because there are. It is looking like we have our president saying one thing and then leaders of departments saying a different thing and having different agendas. Nobody's really on the same page. So if political appointees are in charge, it's likely that there's going to be more biased hiring. However, it's long since been OPM's stance that politics plays no role in hiring for federal jobs. In either case, agencies have until March 24th to submit requests to make this change. Now, the political risk with this: political appointees might prioritize loyalty over qualifications, shifting HR decisions based on political ideology rather than merit. Something that, again, we know that Trump has said that he's not for. He doesn't want people being hired for jobs based on ideology. He wants it skills-based. Career HR professionals could lose influence, weakening long-term stability in the federal workforce. And a new administration could reverse everything, leading to chaotic shifts in HR policy every 4 to 8 years. So there are concerns from many HR pros on this, and it could be, is this undermining federal workers' rights and protections? Would political appointees manipulate labor relations to reflect party goals rather than worker needs? Could this lead to biased hiring? Stay tuned. I guess we'll see. I'll keep you updated. We're about 10 to 12 days out from this, so we'll see how it plays out. Moving into our listener submitted question, can my employer withhold my paycheck? Now, their question was specifically in regards to like if a mistake is made it work. But then, you know, they did follow it up with, or in general. So let's touch on it, okay? I mean, we have a straight answer. No is the straight answer. Your employer doesn't get to play keep away with your hard-earned money just because you're walking out of that door. Your final paycheck is not a privilege. It's a legal right. Your employer cannot withhold your final paycheck because you quit without notice, because you owe them money, or as a punishment. So if you quit without notice, unless you signed a contract that says otherwise, which is rare but does happen, an employer cannot withhold your last check because you didn't give 2 weeks notice. They cannot withhold your last check because you owe them money. Even if you have outstanding debts like unreturned company equipment, training costs, uniform fees, they cannot just take your entire paycheck as reimbursement. In many states, they need written consent from you for any type of deduction. And whether you were fired, laid off, quit, they have to pay you for the hours that you worked. Holding your paycheck out of spite is wage theft. If you signed an agreement, if you agreed in writing to deductions for things like missed equipment, training, repayment, they might have a legal case to deduct some money, but they still have to follow state laws. And if state law allows it, then employers can deduct for damages, cash shortages, or other expenses if you agreed in advance. But again, they cannot take so much that it drops your pay below minimum wage. So this leads into, when should you get your final paycheck? Depends on state law. Some states require final pay immediately upon termination, while other allow for a few days or the next scheduled payday. If they miss that deadline, they could owe you penalties and interest. What do you do if they don't pay up? Well, you're going to want to check your state's labor laws to see when they legally owe you that paycheck. You have to send a written demand, and this can be in the form of an email or a letter, politely requesting payment ASAP. And here's where we always see tensions with this, because if you are so hurt at your employer, I am petty Betty. I get it. I want to write the nasty gram just as much. But sending a really mean or whatever letter to them is not going to get you your payment back faster, and it's not going to get it back slower. It just makes you kind of look like an idiot. So when you send your demand, be polite in it. You're going to state the date that you wish to have your pay received by. You're going to state the address in which they can send it to you. You're going to provide your contact information with it, because maybe your employee file doesn't have updated contact information. You could have changed your phone number. You could have changed your email address. And that's something you're supposed to keep updated with your HR department. But I get it. Years go by sometimes and things don't get updated. So make sure in your demand letter you have where they can contact you as well. You're also going to want to file a wage claim with your state's labor board or the U.S. Department of Labor. And then you're going to want to consider some legal action. So some states have strict penalties for unpaid wages. You can be entitled to extra compensation, back pay, yada, yada. But consult with a lawyer first, and also follow the guidelines as far as what you're supposed to do in regards to reclaiming wages. So if your employer is holding your last paycheck hostage, it's time to remind them that wage theft is illegal. You're not one to mess with. All right. Are you guys ready to have some fun? Because I'm ready to have a little bit of fun. Play along from your home, from your car, from wherever. This is Would You Rather HR themed. So I need you guys to get into the HR mindset right now and think, would you rather have to fire someone every Friday or handle payroll issues every Monday? I think I'm going to say fire somebody. Love a little mystery moment. I hate payroll. I hate dealing with numbers. So I'm going to say I want to fire somebody every Friday. Question two, would you rather sit through an 8-hour sexual harassment training or rewrite the employee handbook from scratch? Ooh, baby. I can't stand a training. I like to provide the trainings. Don't get me wrong. I can't stand listening to them. So I'm going to rewrite that employee handbook from scratch. Question number three, would you rather be stuck in a meeting with the most annoying coworker or get a surprise visit from the Department of Labor? Oh my goodness. Well, I mean, if Lori is going to be, you know, coming in, I'm going to say annoying coworker. I would rather be stuck in a meeting with an annoying coworker because 9 times out of 10, they can shut up. They can shut up. Or, you know, we're flicking rubber bands. We're doing something. Would you rather accidentally email the whole company about salary adjustments or forget to approve PTO for the CEO?
Baby,
I'm forgetting. You had what? I don't want to compromise anybody's salary. I don't play when it comes to salary. I don't want anybody playing with me when it comes to salary. So I definitely don't want to play with the CEO's salary, but they're making enough. They're not going to miss 8 hours. Yeah, we're going to pay them on the next check for that. Would you rather explain benefits to a confused new hire or handle a workplace romance gone wrong? Can I tell you guys something? Okay, I'm going to spill some tea. I've dealt with a workplace romance gone wrong. Baby, the tea. I'm going workplace romance. And you know what? That was such a fun situation to deal with. I mean, we're talking doing the deed in a back room at a production facility. The best time for me was listening in on that tea. Gross. Gross is all get out. Don't get me wrong. But the tea was hot. Would you rather audit employee expense reports or organize the company holiday party? And now hold the damn phone with this question, because who is choosing to organize reports over organizing a party? Honey, we're going party all day long. You're telling me I get to pick out decorations at the company's expense? You're telling me I get to pick out food at the company's expense? Oh, I'm organizing a party. I'm planning. We're going to have a shindig. Question 7, would you rather take the blame for a company-wide payroll error or lead a fun team-building retreat? I don't want to do either of those if we're being so fucking for real right now. There is nothing worse than a team retreat. Are you kidding? I don't like but 2 people at the company I work with. I don't want to take the blame for a company-wide payroll error, but I really don't want to plan for these idiots to be having some fun. I'm going to go fun. I'm going to lead a fun team building retreat. I mean, I could probably actually make it fun. It would not be fun. It would be actually fun. Question 8, would you rather get ghosted by a top candidate or have to reject a candidate you really like? Baby, ghost me. Ghost me. Go back to the ghosting episode. I already talked about it. Ghost me, because I can have fun with that. I could tell a silly little story about it. I cannot give rejection. The same way that I don't actually want to fire somebody every Friday, I don't want to give somebody a rejection notice, because I've been rejected and I know what that feels like. But if you ghost me, sometimes that's a funny story. I'm going to go ghosting. I'm going to say ghosting. Question 9, would you rather have to resolve a fight over the office thermostat or handle a complaint about someone's lunch smell? You know, I mean, you can't really make everybody happy over an office thermostat. So I feel like in that situation, I'm calling Nancy out and I'm saying, get the fuck over it. Bring a sweater or whatever. The thermostat is the thermostat. I mean, you're an adult. Handle it on your own time. No office is setting it to like super hot. If the thermostat is super hot, your AC's broken. I mean, I'd rather handle a complaint about somebody's lunch smell, because if you're bringing tuna, if you're bringing any type of seafood, if you're bringing broccoli, you're out on Friday. That's all I have to say. Would you rather have your boss micromanage you or have zero guidance and figure it out yourself? I mean, this is corporate America. We're all fucking figuring it. We're all who's not Googling? We're all Googling, okay? I would rather Google it. I would rather ChatGPT it than to have dickbag dill over my shoulder here and breathing down my neck. No. I'm figuring it out myself. All right, let's get into closing thoughts. Lori Chavez de Remer, dark horse or just riding the wave? Political HR, slippery slope or overblown panic. If your boss is playing paycheck games, maybe you've got options. That's all I have for today's episode, guys. Send in your questions to hraftedarkpro@gmail.com. Share your HR stories. The juicier, the better, but I love a good horror story with work. Follow me on TikTok and Instagram. Stay tuned for next week's episode. Until then, guys, stay out of HR's way and have a good night.